This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. Today, me and my friend and football historian Dave DiPaolo will continue our discussion on the Dallas Cowboys draft picks over the years. And towards the end of this podcast, Dave will also be discussing some of the all-time greatest years of the draft in the NFL. 1964, for example, had 10, no less than 10 Hall of Famers that were drafted. So stay tuned. Hope you enjoy the podcast. It couldn't stop them.
That's unbelievable. They went, well, the next biggest player they drafted after that was Dorsett in 77. Right. And they picked up Dorsett and Tony Hill, both in the 77 draft. Tony Hill in the third round.
I guess we kind of skipped over him, but there's not really much to say that hasn't already been said. And that 75 draft, of course, was Randy White.
We did skip over him, but we've talked about him over the – you're right. He was the – look, like I said, one of the greatest defensive tackles ever to play the game. Right. You know? And they picked him up from the Giants. I mean, they got an extra pick for the Craig Morton. Like I used to say to Steve Summers, they traded Morton. The guy was a stiff. And they got Randy White for him. It was unbelievable. You know? He was one of the best ever. He really was. I was listening to the guy that does a lot of the Cowboy podcasts, Spagnola, Mickey Spagnola. Uh-huh. And he was saying, you know, it was last year in January, and his birthday's in January, and he says, Randy White turned 70 today. It was just this past year where they played the 49ers. Right. And he says, if we had him this weekend against the 49ers, he goes, we wouldn't have too many things to worry about, he says. And one guy says, yeah, he might still be able to play, he says.
Now,
one of the best, Mark. Yeah.
And they didn't know where to put him at first. He played defensive end in college, right?
Yes, he was. Different number. He had a different
94,
number, too.
I think. Number 94.
Yes.
And they didn't know where to put him. Thought they were grooming him to take Leroy Jordan's place at middle linebacker.
Didn't work out too good, right?
No. They really didn't know where to put him. And Randy White really wasn't that big compared to...
No.
Came out of college, I think he only weighed about 240.
Yeah. He did work his way up to about 270 at the very end. 87, 86, right around there. You could actually see it, you know, when you watched him on television. But he became a lot thicker. But by today's standards, it's mild.
Now, 77, they worked out a deal with the Seahawks, right?
There you go. Set. It's right.
The Seahawks could have had him.
That's right.
The Buccaneers picked Ricky Bell ahead of Dorsett, I think.
That's right, they did. And a buddy of mine who's a 49er fan, not as old as us, he's in his late 40s now. He would hear these things. We were talking about this one day, and he was saying, how did they get all these guys? Like the Cowboys. I mean, they had a good team in the 70s, and then they pick up Tony Dorsett. Yeah. I said, that's, you know, they were kind of wheelers and dealers, right?
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. The Seahawks could have had them, and Tampa Bay could have had them. Tampa Bay picked Ricky Bell, and he did. Ricky Bell had a couple good seasons, and then he got some kind of rare blood disorder. The poor guy died.
Imagine that. Yeah. Imagine that. Yeah, I mean, you know, that was a big pickup for them, though, because before Dorsett, they had two. I mean, they had Preston Pearson, who was very good, but he was kind of a special team. He was nothing like Dorsett as far as an all-around runner, and neither was Robert Newhouse. Robert Newhouse was good, but no, you weren't going to. Nobody was going to lose any sleep over Robert Newhouse.
No,
you know, so that really bolstered their team.
Yeah. And who else was in that 77? Oh,
77, Mark. They had Jim Cooper, I think, was in there, wasn't he?
Cooper, yep. He was another good offensive lineman. Tony Hill was 70. Tony Hill.
Yes, Tony Hill. And they picked that pick up, believe it or not. They traded John Nyland to the Eagles, and they got that extra pick in the third round. They picked up Tony Hill.
That's how they got Tony Hill. Wow.
How about that?
Wow. Yeah, they were wheeling and dealing.
No, they really were, Mark. And then they, you know, in 78, they had a pretty, not too good of a draft. Their first round pick was Larry Bethea. I think they thought he was going to be better than he actually turned out.
Let me just back up for a minute.
Go ahead, Mark.
Where's Butch Johnson in there?
Butch Johnson was, he's right around there. Let me just 77? See. They picked up Glenn Carano also, by the way. He was a backup quarterback. Yeah. And they also picked up Andy Frederick, a backup lineman. But I'm not seeing – and they also picked up Dave Stalls, who ended up going to the Raiders eventually. He was a pretty decent lineman on defense for them. That's a good thing, Mark, was – you think he could have been a free agent? Oh, no. I take it back, Mark. I take it back. He was. The Cowboys had three third-round picks in 1976. Three. Wow. And two second-round picks. Okay? So they had a first, two seconds, and three thirds. And in that 76 draft, they picked up Aaron Kyle, Butch Johnson and Tom Rafferty with three of those six picks.
Wow, those are good picks.
You know, I personally, Mark, you know, I never watched a lot of college football, but I kind of always watched the draft. I actually went to a draft. I think, what was the year that the Rams took Orlando Pace? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Was that 96 or 97?
Yeah, I'd be one of the somewhere around there.
I think I want to say it was 96 or 97. That's I went to that draft down in New York City with a buddy of mine. It was pretty good. You know, we went down on the train. We walked over to they didn't have it at I'm not sure if they had it at Madison Square Garden at the time. It might have been at that big hotel in Times Square. I can't remember the name of it. But I met Joe Beningo that day at the draft. We hooked up. Beningo from WFAN. He was there with all these Jets fans. And I finally had his number. And we ended up meeting up that day. That's when I was really calling the fan a lot. But it was pretty fun going down there for that, I got to tell you. But I forgot who the Cowboys even took that late. They had some terrible drafts in the 90s, Mark.
Yeah.
Some of their drafts were brutal. There was a period of 6 or 7 years in the 1990s that were absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
You know? But getting back to the 70s, they ended up in 79, their last year of the draft. They ended up picking up Ron Springs.
You said 78, Bethea.
78 was Bethea, yes. First-round pick.
And he was really good.
And they picked the only other guy really that made an impact from that draft was Dennis Thurman, an 11th-round pick.
Thurman was good, yep. Thurman and Bethea.
Yeah.
Now is Bethea.
Thurman and Bethea. Those were their two.
Is Bethea the one that got messed up on drugs?
He did. He did. I think in the end, he was working at a 7-Eleven, and he ended up taking his own life. If you could believe that, imagine that. They could have had another guy if he panned out for them, Mark. The ironic part is he didn't want to play the position they were putting him at, and he ended up becoming an all-pro player at that position. And that would be second-round pick Todd Christensen.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's right. I forgot about him.
He came out as a running back tight end. Landry moved him to tight end. He said he didn't want to play it. They shipped him out.
Then he wound up playing tight end for the Raiders.
Yeah, and he was very good at it. He passed away recently, Mark, very young. He was not old. Was it 2 years ago, I think, he passed away?
Yeah.
Or a few years ago?
Yeah, he was not very old, and he died young. He went into announcing, right? After he retired, he was announcing.
He did, and he was very good at it. He was a very bright guy.
They have Jim Zorn. Zorn.
Didn't they pick? Yes, they picked him up, Jim Zorn, for a. I think that didn't Seattle end up getting him from the Cowboys somehow? Was that the Tony Dorsett trade or no?
He might have been involved. Maybe might have been involved. Yeah,
I thought he was. Another thing we didn't mention. 10th round pick in 77, they picked up Steve DeBerg. I think the guy played like 20 years. Right. I
forgot about him.
They picked him up, Mark. I don't think he ever played a down for the Cowboys, did he?
I don't remember him ever playing. No.
No? But in 79, they had three good picks right in a row, right off the out of the gates. They picked up Robert Shaw, Aaron Mitchell, and Doug Crosby. Well, those guys were all starters, and Robert Shaw got hurt, right?
He blew out his knee. He was a center, right? Was he a center? He was supposed to take over for John Fitzgerald. And I think he would have been really good.
They had big plans for him, Mark.
He would have been really good.
Yeah,
I think he blew out his knee, and this was still, 1979. They still didn't have the technology that they have today, the medical technology. They just didn't have the technology yet. Otherwise, they might have been able to do something, But I remember he would. You're right. They had big plans for him. He was going to take over for John Fitzgerald, and tore up his knee. That was the end of him.
Yes, they picked up. They picked up Ron Springs in the 5th round, and they picked up Bruce Thornton in the 8th round. But that Doug Crosby, that third, that was a great pick in the third round.
He was very underrated. He didn't really get the recognition. I thought he was a tremendous tight end.
Yeah, I don't know what his last year was. It didn't seem like he played. I don't even think he lasted 10 years, did he?
No, I don't think so. Maybe 8 years, 9 years.
Yeah.
I think he had some kind of injury. I don't remember if it was back issue.
He was a real solid guy, Mark.
Very solid. Those are some good picks there in 79.
No, they were good. They added to the, Timmy Newsom came in 1980. They picked up Kurt Peterson. He was a big team sergeant for them for a number of years on the offensive line. They gave up 2 first-round picks in 1980. Remember for who, Mark?
Gave up 2 picks in 1980.
first and second round choices where they gave him up. They were looking for a big time player. They picked this guy up and they gave up two picks for him. High picks.
1980.
He was a defensive player. He joined the team in 80. Yep.
John Depp.
They thought he'd make a big.
Yep.
That's right. John Dutton. That would never happen today. You don't give up. They don't give up picks like that anymore. Like some of these players who are pretty good, they end up getting traded to other teams, and they give up like a sixth or eighth round pick for him, seventh round pick for him. Now I think it's only seven rounds now, the draft. But I mean, that was unheard of, giving up two high picks like that for a player. You know?
Timmy Newsom.
And you look. Timmy Newsom came in the sixth round. Yeah. He was another guy out of a small college.
He was good. He was a good player.
Yeah.
John Dutton.
John Dutton, Kurt.
Jethro Pugh and Larry Cole had retired, right?
Yes, exactly.
And Jones went into boxing.
Imagine that.
I'm trying to remember now. Did they get John Dutton to take Ed Jones' place? I think 79.
That's right.
I think 79 is when Ed Jones went to the boxing for that 1 year.
Yes. Yes, but the thing about Dutton is he ended up playing at tackle a lot.
That's right, because Ed Jones came back after the 1 year. He did the 1 year of boxing, then he came back. And then Larry Cole and Jethro Pugh both retired.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how that worked.
That's right. That's how that worked out. And I looked over these 80s drafts, and the big one there, really, if you look at the decade of the 80s, was they had some bizarre picks in the 80s. Remember they drafted Carl Lewis?
Yeah. they were hoping he'd be another Bob Hayes, I guess.
They drafted him in 84, Mark. Wasn't he? And that was the year he was in the Olympics, wasn't it?
84.
Yep. And then the next year they drafted Herschel Walker in 85. How bizarre was that?
Because he was he joined the USFL, and that's why
nobody played
wanted
it,
to draft him, because they figured, well, he's going to go to the USFL. So, but the Cowboys were always willing to take a risk. They were always willing to take a risk. They figured this league isn't going to last. So as soon as that league folds up, we got Herschel Walker.
That's right. Fifth round pick.
There was another offense. I think it was an offensive tackle. Maybe 80 or 81. Same thing happened to him as Robert Shaw, I think. Howard Richards.
First round pick, Mark. Yep. You hit it right on the head.
I think the same thing happened to him. He tore up his knee. And they had big plans.
That wasn't a bad. I looked at it. Go back and look at that 81 draft, Mark. You talk about Howard Richards out of Missouri, and then followed by Doug Donnelly, and they picked up the Glenn Titanser. He became a starter at one point. And they picked up Scott Pelor in the fourth round, and they picked up Ron Fellows in the seventh round. So they had a pretty decent draft there in 1981.
It was Everson Walls.
It was a free agent.
Another free agent.
Imagine that. Another one. A lot of people try to make a case for Everson Walls for the Hall of Fame. People do talk about that.
He was an excellent player. But I forgot that he was a free agent. Unbelievable.
Imagine
how many
that.
Free agents they got.
He said he lived right in the neighborhood. He'd walk to the training facility.
Unbelievable.
How about that? Did he come in with I don't see him on the list, Mark. You would know. Was Michael Downs a free agent too?
It's possible.
I think he was, Mark.
That's very possible.
I think they both came in the same year. Imagine, Michael Downs was a very good player.
Yep. He was there,
you know,
for quite a few years.
Michael Downs came in. I was looking at the decade of the 80s, Mark, and I looked at the first round picks. I had a list of them from 80. They didn't have a pick in 1980, but we talked about that because of John Dutton. But then in 1981, they had Howard Richards. 82, they had Rod Hill. You can consider him a bust. Yes. 83, Jim Jeffcoat, very good. Very good.
Yep.
And then another guy that got injured in 1984, he was a linebacker. You remember who that was? I think his father played with the Cowboys. Got hurt. 84, got hurt. He was a linebacker. And he was out of those, he was another one out of those Texas College. And he didn't play long. He got injured. I think he only played, I think, 1 year. And then that was the end of it for him, I think. I'd have to look to check up on that, but Billy Cannon Jr.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Imagine that.
Yep, his father played. I think we skipped over Bob.
They had big hope.
I think we skipped over Bob Brunig, too, that 75 draft.
Well, Bob Brunig, phenomenal. Fourth-round pick out of Arizona State. Yeah. You're right. That was the 75, the Dirty Dozen draft. there was a guy that was really steady player, huh?
Yeah, and I think his career got cut short. I think he only played 9 years because he had lower back problems. He had some really bad lower back, but he had at least a good 5 years in a row where I think he was Pro Bowl, made Pro Bowl quite a few times.
You know, I met him once. He was in I went to the 49er playoff game, and that was a playoff game, I'm sorry, regular season game, when the 49ers upset the Cowboys, I think it was in 95.
Right.
Steve Young was out for the game, and they ended up starting Elvis Gerbach. And about four or five rows in front of me, you remember that game, Mark, or no?
I remember that.
Four or five rows in front of me, there's this guy, he's all white hair.
Yeah.
And he turns around, and I could see it's Bob Brunig.
Yeah.
And so I make my way down, and he was in this little enclosed off section. I think it was probably maybe for former players, because believe it or not, Thomas Henderson was over there too. And Bob Brunig, I watched him, he went back to his seat. And I think his son was with him. It was a teenage boy, I think, or maybe it could have been in his 20s. And he was pointing up and he was pointing back at me. And he was saying, you know, that guy recognized me. He thought it was a big deal that I recognized who he was.
Yeah, those guys get forgotten.
Imagine that. You're right, though. He had back problems. You're right about that. Yeah, but he was a smart player. He was very good. Very good. But you're right. He came in that 75 draft. But you know, the 87 draft, I'm talking about the 80s drafts. 87 produced seven starters. It produced at one time, they weren't all consistent starters, but at one time or another, all these guys started. Mm-hmm. Danny Noonan, Ron Francis, Jeff Zimmerman, the offensive lineman, he played a little. He started a few games. Kelvin Martin was actually better. He was pretty good. I liked him. He ended up making that big catch in the 92 championship game. That little touchdown catch he had.
Kmart. Is that the guy that called Kmart?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. He probably shouldn't have started this guy here, but he did end up starting. Remember, yeah. Kevin Sweeney.
That was a mistake. Things started going downhill. 87. Went downhill. Yeah.
87. And Kevin Gogan. All those guys were starters at one point, even just for maybe a game or two. But Gogan was very good. Gogan lasted a long time. You know, was pretty good with them.
I liked him a lot. Kevin Gogan. Because
yeah,
he was nasty.
He was a nasty guy.
What I remember about him is you did not take a cheap shot at his quarterback. He'd go crazy. If you took a cheap shot at his quarterback, he'd go right after you. He would attack. And I like that about him. He really defended his teammate. The guy was huge. He had to be like 6'7", 330.
Oh, he was a monster. And there was an interview in that Great Wall of Dallas video, Mark. And he says, I'll tell you, I wasn't the most talented guy, but you're right. He goes, I would take a cheap shot. I would do whatever I needed to do, he said. Yeah, he ended up going to, I think he ended up, at one point he ended up on the 49ers.
Yeah, he moved around. I think he played for the Raiders. Yeah, he moved around a lot. But I liked him. Yeah.
Right?
I liked Kevin Gogan.
You're right. He was on the... He got, in fact, I think at one time he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the nastiest. Yeah. He was like
the Conrad Dobler of his day.
No, you're right about that. This was an odd pick, Mark. I don't know if you could shed any light on this pick. But in 1988, obviously, they drafted Michael Irvin in the first round. They picked up Kenny Norton in the second round. Two great picks. And then in the fifth round, they gave up some draft choices for a guy named Ron Essing.
I don't even remember him.
He was a left tackle, and he played for the Seattle Seahawks. He was very good. Yeah, he was a real solid player. I think he was born in New Zealand. I knew there was something going on. But he was a really talented player. And I don't know, the Cowboys gave up two picks. They gave up they gave up the fifth round pick. There may be another one. Don't quote me on that. And I don't think he ever played a single down for the Cowboys. I'm just wondering what the heck happened with that.
I don't really remember that one.
I remember him playing because my buddy was a big Raider fan. And at that around this time, he had a satellite dish. So I watched the Raiders almost every week with him. I would bring my television set up to his house, and he'd hook up another feed where I could watch the Cowboy games before I actually put my dish in. And I remember seeing Ron Essing because the Raiders played the Seahawks a lot. And the guy was very good. The Cowboys gave up this pick for him, and I don't think he ever played a down for them.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then, of course, in 89, now the draft choices started to get crazy with Jimmy Johnson. But they did pick up Troy Aikman. And Landry was taking Aikman anyway.
People forget that Landry was there when – Who were the three guys? Irvin, right? Irvin was drafted when Landry was there.
Yes, he was.
The other guy, Kevin Gogan.
And so was Ken Norton. Right,
Ken Norton. Ken Norton. Those draft picks when Landry was still there.
Yeah, in 89, they picked up Aikman. They picked up Daryl Johnston. They picked up Stepnoski. They picked up Tony Tolbert. They picked up those were the main guys. Yeah, they picked up those were the four main guys they got in 89. Tony Tolbert, solid. He was a solid player out of Texas El Paso. He was very good. Stepnoski was tremendous out of Pittsburgh. He was a real technician. They picked him up in the third round. Daryl Johnson, second round pick. And, of course, Aikman, the first round pick. You know, they were built. And then the following year, obviously, Emmitt Smith in the first round. Oh, those were all building blocks to that 90s team. I mean, those were a lot of big time players right there.
That was a building block.
You know?
That was a good building.
Those were very, very solid guys. I mean, that was the beginning of that. As you look through the 90s, and really, I'm going to be honest with you, that 91 draft, there was five big contributors in that draft. And after that, though, the draft started, I take that back. 92 and 93, they have added three more big contributors for that 90s team and four more in 93. After that, their draft started to fade. In the mid to late 90s, they started getting crazy. But in that 91 draft, they had Russell Maryland. He was very good. They had Alvin Harper. He was very good. Dixon Edwards was very good at linebacker. And they picked up Eric Williams. They started stockpiling picks. Think of this, Mark. In the 91 draft, they had three first-round picks, a second-round pick, three third-round picks, three fourth-round, four fourth-round picks. Imagine this. And that's where they picked up Eric Williams with one of those fourth-round picks.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then in 93, they picked up a couple of more guys. They picked up Kevin Williams, remember the receiver? They picked up Darren Smith, the linebacker. And they picked up a backup guard who was actually very good. He ended up becoming a starter with the Giants, Ron Stone. And then they picked up, Brock Marion, the safety, who ended up,
Right.
But the drafts started to fade, Mark, in the 90s because between 95, I think, and 95 and to 95 and 2002, between those 95, 96, 7, 8, 9, 2000, that's 8 years. I think out of those 8 years, they only got six starting players. That's it. Six starting players. No. They started to get spruced up a little between 2003 and 2006. They started getting spruced, but that's because Parcells was there. Parcells picked up six Pro Bowlers. Parcells drafted, Parcells had some pretty good drafts that people forget about, you know. Because they started changing. It was like coaches, between Chan Gailey and then Dave Campo. They finally ironed things out, and they got Parcells in 2003. But he picked up Terrence Newman, Jason Witten, and then he picked up DeMarcus Ware, Marion Barber III. He picked up Jay Ratliff, who was pretty good for about 6 or 7 years. And he picked up a couple other guys, Anthony Spencer, Jason Hatcher. But really, he had a few good drafts here. One not too good draft, 2004. Really, outside of Julius Jones, they had they had Patrick Creighton. He was a receiver, but not too many good picks in that draft there. But started to come around a lot better than these late 90s drafts. Listen to these first-round picks. They were terrible. Shante Carver, 1994. He was a first-round pick. The guy was terrible. And then in 95, Sherman Williams. The guy was a backup running back. Nothing ever became him. These are first-round picks. Another defensive end, Kavika Pittman. See, they were trying to replace Charles Haley, who had a bad back. And they just ended up another first-round pick, David LaFleur. You can consider him another bust at tight end. And though in 98 and 99, they had two back-to-back drafts, first-round, second-round, Greg Ellis and Flozell Adams. The rest of the draft was a bust. Look at the rest of these guys. There were nobodies. And then another bust in 99 in the first round, Ebenezer Ecubon. I mean, they could have got Ebenezer Scrooge. He would have been better. These picks were terrible, Mark, in the late rounds of the 90s. And no wonder their teams went, just think about it. Now you can see why they just went into complete in the early 2000s. The team was terrible, 5-11, 3 years in a row. How can you overcome that many terrible draft picks?
You can't. Yep.
Right? That's terrible. You know, they've redeemed themselves. I'll give Jerry credit where credit is due. He did redeem himself in the last several years. I mean, recently. He's had some very good drafts. You know, you can't take that away from the 2016 draft was very good for Jerry Jones. You got to give him that, you know? There was a couple other drafts, too. I mean, some of those drafts were absolutely brutal.
Well,
let me look over. I just want to look at some of those late 2000 drafts, but they had some pretty good drafts. And I mean, they picked up Zach Martin and DeMarcus Lawrence in 2014. They picked up Prescott Elliott and they picked up Jalen Smith. He didn't really pan out like they thought he was going to. That was 2016, but they picked up contributors. Probably the 90s, I think it was the 97, the 2007 draft and the 97 draft. There were some terrible drafts there. And in 2007, they picked up Anthony. He wasn't bad. They picked up Isaiah Stanback. Doug Free, he was not a bad offensive lineman. Nick Folk, he was a pretty good kicker. But there was the 2009 draft. Not one. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They had 13 picks in 2009. Yeah. Not one guy started in that draft. Not one single guy.
Awful.
Terrible draft, 2009. They had pretty good guys. In 2010, they redeemed themselves with Dez Bryant and Sean Lee. He was another good player, Mark. He was a guy that was typical linebacker that you would like. Real smart guy out of Penn State. You know, they got Byron Jones in 2015. He was a starter for a few years, but I was never crazy about him. He gave up that big play in the playoff game when they played the Packers in 2016. He gave up that play to that he was covering the tight end there, I think Cook. The Rodgers threw the 30-something yards, I think it was, 32. It was like fourth down in a country mile. And the guy, I'm not kidding. They picked up like 31 yards or something on that play. That was inexcusable.
That is inexcusable.
You can't give that up. But, I mean, those early drafts that we talked about in the 60s and that's what really helped build that dynasty, you know, the Cowboys through the, like you said in the beginning of the thing, 20 straight winning years, 20 straight winning seasons, 18 out of 20 years in the playoffs. You know, the Patriots are really the only team that could match that.
Yeah,
really.
They had 19 winning seasons in a row, right? They almost tied it.
Something like that, right?
But, the Cowboys had 5 NFC titles, 2 Super Bowl titles, 20 winning seasons in a row. And, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Gil Brandt and those guys on the scouting team. Unbelievable.
And I think they were using computers, Mark, before anybody else, weren't they?
Yeah, they were using the computers. And, Red Hickey involved in the draft? I thought so.
Yes, he was. Yep. It's funny you bring that up. Yeah, not too many people know about him.
He coached the 49ers, right, in the 50s. Then he joined the Cowboys, and he was very useful for the Cowboys. He's the one that had the shotgun. Yep.
Yes, he did. 49ers. They brought it back. They brought it back, Mark. I picked out about five drafts, Mark, and these are older ones. That, yeah, I wonder if you consider. There was about five drafts that people toss around as being the greatest drafts of all time. Not Cowboys, right. NFL drafts. And one of them they claim was the of the greatest, well, they say it might have been the greatest defensive draft of all time, where they took a lot of great defensive players. I think was that 1967 draft where there was Lem Barney, Willie Lanier, Alan Page, Kenny Houston. All these guys were, these were guys, those, I believe those guys were all Hall of Famers, correct?
All Hall of Famers.
And in addition to that, in addition to those guys, they also, Rayfield Wright, Gene Upshaw, Floyd Little, and Bob Greasy. So a lot of people consider that one of the greatest drafts of all time, 67.
That's hard to beat.
That's hard to, right? Exactly. Some people say that the 81 draft might have been better as far as defensive. They claim that Lawrence Taylor was there, of course, and then Kenny Easley was the second. He came in the first round, and then Ronnie Lott. Those three guys were in the top eight of the draft picks. Those three guys came in the top eight picks. And then to add to that, Dennis Smith, the great player for the Broncos, Mike Singletary, Howie Long, and Ricky Jackson. A lot of people think that was the greatest defensive draft of all time.
I know. It'd be hard to pick between 67 and 81. It'd be hard to pick one over the other. They were both.
Yeah, I mean, and then it's there's a lot of great players, Mark. They claim that 64 could have been the greatest draft of all time because there was 10 Hall of Famers. Now, there was three of them on the Cowboys alone we talked about earlier, Hayes, Staubach, and Renfro. But in addition to that was Paul Krause, okay, the all-time interception leader, Carl Eller, Leroy Kelly, Paul Warfield, Dave Wilcox, Bob Brown, and Charlie Taylor. All those guys in 64.
That's amazing.
What do you think of that, class, Mark? You think that's I look at that, class, and I say, I mean, those are, you know, Bob, those guys are, I mean, that's 10 Hall of Famers.
I don't know if you could beat that. But those are some big names there.
And there, he said possibly the, there was a couple classes he said that could rival that. He thought the 57 class could rival that class, which was Jim Brown came out of 57. Paul Hornung, Len Dawson, okay, Sonny Jurgensen, Jim Parker, and then Tommy McDonald, Gene Hickerson, Don Maynard, and Henry Jordan. All of those guys are Hall of Famers.
Wow.
I mean, you'd have to just rank Hall of Famers against Hall of Famers, I guess. How would you even go again? How would you even judge that?
Yeah, that'd be hard. Be hard to judge. Those are four.
I mean,
years.
People forget, Mark. This, a lot of people forget that Sonny Jurgensen's in the Hall of Fame. Did you ever know? A lot of people don't remember that
because when he started with the Eagles, they had Norm Van Brocklin, right? So he didn't really get to play that much because they had Van Brocklin. Then He had some good years with the Eagles. After Van Brocklin retired, then he went to the Redskins. And he always talks about the 19... Well, the Redskins weren't good, see? So that's why he kind of... Neither were the Eagles. I guess that has a lot to do with it. They, most of the teams he played for were not good teams. The Eagles in the 60s weren't good. The Redskins in the 60s weren't good. But he always talks about the 1 year that he had Vince Lombardi as his coach. He always talks about
that. That's right.
He said, if I had Vince Lombardi as my coach for my whole career, I would have been on top.
People forget about that. In 61, Mark, the 7 Hall of Famers came out of that class. We talked about Lilly, but also with Lilly came Herb Adderley, Tarkington, Jimmy Johnson, the cornerback for the 49ers, Billy Shaw and Deacon Jones, and Mike Ditka. So that was a great class as well, 61.
Those are some incredible years you're mentioning there.
As some people think 83, Mark, was the greatest just because of the quarterbacks. They had Marino, Kelly, and Elway. Then you had Eric Dickerson, Daryl Green, and Bruce Matthews, 6 Hall of Famers right off the bat. But then there was a host of very, very good players coming out of that draft. You had Carl Mecklenburg, Richard Dent, Anthony Carter, Roger Craig was there, Leonard Marshall, Albert Lewis, who was very underrated for the Chiefs, and Joey Browner. So all those guys were 83. That was a great draft, if you look at that. And, I mean, last but not least for these lists, some people think that the 89 draft was the greatest with the first 5 picks. Well, not so much the second pick, but they had Troy Aikman, Tony Mandarich, who people said he was a bust, but he evened out a little. He ended up playing with the with somebody. I don't know if he went left the Colts, Packers. Yeah. I think he went with the Colts.
He did pretty good.
Yep, you're right. And, of course, Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas, and Deion Sanders. They say that that might have been the greatest of the first 5 picks. That could have been the greatest class of all time.
Boy, I don't
know. Imagine that.
It's hard to beat any of these. It'd be hard to pick one over the other.
I mean, and, you know, there was other guys out of that draft. Steve Atwater came out of that draft. Andre Rison, Eric Metcalf, Ray Crockett, Marion Butts, Mark Schlereth. There was a bunch of other really good players that came out of that AVM. But those top 5 picks, a lot of people claim that those were the best 5 picks of all time for one, you know, right? Those 5 picks right there.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to pick 1 year over the other because all those years you mentioned were unbelievable. Hard to even believe that.
No, it really is. I wasn't aware of the 57 team with Brown, Horning, Dawson, Jurgensen, Parker, McDonald, Hickerson, Maynard, and Jordan. I never realized that.
No. 1964. You said 10 Hall of Famers, right?
64, the other one I brought up. I think it was, 67 had 8 Hall of Famers. And 64, you're right, Mark, 10 Hall of Famers, exactly.
That's hard to beat.
Paul Krause. Okay, people forget about him. He was the all-time interception leader. Nobody even talks about him.
Yeah, all-time interception. After all these years, he's still the all-time interception leader.
Yeah. You never hear nothing. Well, you watch a game today in the last 10 years of football I've been watching. People don't even bring up Paul Krause. How could you not talk about him?
Yeah, and he started with the Redskins. He played equally well for both the teams he played for, the Redskins and the Vikings. I don't know why the Redskins let him go, but
that's an odd thing. Yeah, you're right about that.
But that's what bad teams do.
Was he gone before George Allen, Mark? Do you know, or was he there still? when George Allen came in.
He was gone. He was with the Vikings. I don't think he played for the Redskins that long. Yeah. Maybe four or five years with the Redskins. And I don't know why they let him go, but that's what bad teams do, right? They let go.
No, they do. Yeah, I mean, Bob Brown, another Hall of Famer out of that class. There was a guy probably before Eric Williams, maybe. He might have been the nastiest tackle I think that ever played pro football. He was nasty, Bob Brown.
He attacked people.
Was he how many teams was he with, Mark? He was with more than two or three?
Rams.
I know the Raiders, Rams, and the Eagles,
the
right?
Eagles, the Raiders. Rams, Eagles, Raiders. I think maybe that was three.
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah, I think there was a Sports Illustrated cover with him on it, I remember. I think it said, "Bring on the Boomer." It was a picture of Bob Brown. He was sitting there with his helmet on. Or he might have his helmet on, but, that guy was a real mean guy.
Huge guy, too. Huge and nasty.
Yeah. Well, that was we covered most of it, Mark, I think.
That was good.
It was good talking to you again, of course, as usual. It was good seeing you.
Yep. I think we can wrap it up.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.